I'm glad to see that I'm not the only one who's struggling with daylight savings. In fact, the other day I heard yet more proof that daylight savings time is evil by the very fact that what we did last night makes Monday come an hour sooner. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The Jews demand signs, and Greeks look for wisdom. But we proclaim Christ crucified. Indeed, the children of Israel constantly asked for signs. Wherever our Lord went and whatever he did, people said, "Show us a sign. Show us a sign that gives you the authority to do this or that. Show us a sign that you are who you say you are, that you are what you say you are." We see that in today's gospel, when our Lord cleansed the temple from those who sold sacrificial offerings and those who exchanged money. You might say, well, what was wrong with these people? Was it, wrong to sell things? No, it's not wrong to sell things. But it rather defeated the whole purpose of the sacrifices in the temple. It made it far too easy. The whole idea was that you would take the very best of your flock or the very best that you had to offer, and then you would bring it and have it offered to God. But because you had those who sold sacrificial animals, you didn't have to do that. You could just walk to Jerusalem, you pick out an animal, and you buy it, and then you hand it over to the priest, all easy peasy, lemon squeezy. No effort was required. And in fact, if you hadn't brought the right coin with you, you could just go to the money changers, and they would change the coin for you. There was no effort required. And so our Lord cleansed the temple, thus providing a sign, because this fulfilled many words of sacred scripture, including that from the book of the prophet Malachi, which said that the Lord would suddenly come to his temple, and who would endure the day of his coming. But they didn't see this sign. They didn't recognize it. They didn't accept it. And so they asked for another one. Was not all of the exorcisms of our Lord when he cast out demons, was that not a sign? When our Lord healed the sick and raised the dead, was that not a sign? When our Lord fed the multitudes, were those not signs? When prostitutes and tax collectors and other sinners turned from their sins and returned to fidelity to the covenant that God had made with Abraham, was that not a sign? And did not Jesus give us the ultimate sign? By dying for us and by being raised from the dead for us. Oh, those people back then, they asked for signs. And yet, are we any better? God has given us each many blessings, but do we see those for what they are? Do we see them for signs? Or do we rather say to God, "God, I would only believe if you would do this one thing for me." And then when that one thing happens, you go on to something else. If you want a sign, look at what happens here in this church. Bread and wine become the body and blood of Christ, so that you may have eternal life, and the Lord may be present and active and work with you. Look at the baptismal font. It's where sins are washed away, the damage of the sin of Adam and Eve is undone, and a fountain of living water is placed within the soul. Great signs indeed. The Greeks demand wisdom. They wanted everything to conform to their philosophy and their science, and if something didn't, then they threw it out. When St. Paul went to Athens, he went to the intellectual center of the ancient world, to the Areopagus, and he proclaimed the gospel, and at first people were interested in what he had to say, until he talked about the resurrection from the dead. Well, they knew that was nonsense, because Plato had said it is impossible for the dead to be raised, because Aristotle said it was impossible for the dead to be raised. And many philosophers have said it is impossible for the dead to be raised. And so because of their earthly wisdom, they closed their minds and their hearts to the saving message of the gospel, and only a few came to believe. Oh, those people back then. And yet, are we any better today? How many people reject the gospel because smart people like Stephen Hawking or Richard Dawkins or whoever has lately been on Oprah says that this is the truth? Well, you know, these smart people say it's the truth, so we can't believe in the gospel. You know, we can't accept what the gospel has to say. So there are people who don't even reject all of the gospel. They just pick and choose. And whenever something is not within the realm of the latest wisdom or the latest fad, they throw it out. There are even those who reject the real presence. Oh, God couldn't do that. He couldn't change bread and wine into his body and blood. Well, if he can't do that, then he can't do anything. And really, if you can create the entire universe out of nothing, changing bread and wine into the body and blood of Christ is a relatively small thing. And yet there are still those who will believe anything simply because someone has a PhD after their name. Well, we do not proclaim the science. We do not proclaim earthly wisdom. Rather, we proclaim Christ and Him crucified. This Christ that we proclaim is the ultimate sign from God, because He is God Himself in human form. And He continually gives us grace. Christ Himself, not simply what He teaches, but He Himself is the ultimate wisdom, because He is God in the human flesh. And He continually works within the lives of believers. Christ and the gospel that He teaches is not provable by reason, but it is compatible with reason. And it is a wisdom which has outlasted many earthly fads and many earthly truths. We do not simply proclaim a teaching. We do not simply proclaim a system of thought, but we proclaim a person who is the power and wisdom of God, because He is God Himself, and a person who loves us enough to give us His very Son. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.